conference on vulnerability, and she had a glass of tea. She's from Australia. And she spills it all over her notes. And I think, how vulnerable is that? You know what I mean? That you're so. I'm not preaching on vulnerability, but if I was, that was a great way to start. But anyway, so let's just kind of. I was thinking about ministry as I was thinking about the lives of the people that we're honoring and talking about. And one of the things that I was thinking in. I always get a little nervous when you kind of highlight folks, because there's always folks you highlight, and then sometimes there's always folks you forget to highlight. And so with that in mind, I kind of had a sermon kind of develop around that, but I want to talk about three things that kind of are linked with ministry in our church today. And one is this idea of being overlooked. And now, if you've met me or shook my hand, I wear a bracelet. I'm not a bracelet man. If you're not a bracelet man, I'm on your side. But I chose to wear this bracelet because on this bracelet it says, no invisible people. And I thought, I hate the idea of people being overlooked. I hate the idea that somebody has a voice that somebody does not want to hear. And so even when our district superintendent passed these bracelets out, I thought, I'm going to wear that at least till I have a sense that our church has this kind of this corporate heart that we don't want any invisible people. Not really in our church, certainly, but not even in our lives. And so I was thinking about this issue of being overlooked, and I was drawn to the passage that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. And I love this passage for this sake. He says this, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, or the NIV says to the member that lacked it, that there may be no dissension within the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffers together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. And the one thing I thought, in church, it just works this way. If you're the preacher, you have a certain amount of honor because you just get to stand up and preach every Sunday. Or if you lead the music, if you're on the worship team, or if you teach a Sunday school class, or maybe if you're a board member, there's a certain amount of honor. I know in our particular church, the church board is a huge part of the leadership. And so when you think about things, people will say they were on the church board because that's a significant area of, but some people will never serve on the church board. And but I love this, and I love that Paul didn't really make it specific so we couldn't figure it out exactly. Because if Paul says, but God has arranged the parts of the body that if you are the usher, you have the greatest honor, then everybody would want to be ushers. Or if you are the janitor, you have the greatest, well, then everybody would want to be janitors. Because we have this sense that we want. He just said that in the body, the parts that seem to lack honor, God has given greater honor. And I think, I wonder what that is going to look like in heaven. Or even now for us, just this idea that even though we all play different roles, God has it figured out. And it isn't all with what we see with our eyes. So even as we do this, and again, some people are visiting here, and we're glad you are, and we really hope you stay and have lunch with us. So this might not apply to you this much, but I just think about other people in the church that sometimes it feels like we're being overlooked, that maybe we're invisible. And we certainly don't want it to be that way, but it just happens to be true. But I think you should know this, that God takes care of that. God takes care of that. So you do what the Lord wants you to do, and He'll take care of the rest. And far better to be honored by the Lord Jesus Christ on that day than to have a few people say, oh, you're wonderful. Because people tell you, oh, you're wonderful one day, then the next day they tell you, behind your back, you're not so wonderful. So how great, though, to have the Lord tell us that we're a good and faithful servant. But there's a kind of a double side on this being overlooked. Sometimes we do things, and maybe we're never going to get an award for it. Sometimes what we do is overlooked, and sometimes we are overlooked. And again, for me, there is an inner something in me that I cannot stand that. Somewhere this week we were reading a little article about these people who were not real athletic, but you can remember, at least I can remember, being in the elementary playground, and you always had two captains. Two captains. I guess Glenn Mudd, Scott Marsh. Always the captains. And in this article, it's funny because it said something about two hairy leg things, because they're always like they're ahead of everybody in puberty and everything else, you know what I mean? They got mustaches and you still don't have nothing. Your voice is high and yours is low. But they're the captains. And this particular author wrote that he was always one of the last two. And he said, I was always dreading the words that when one of the captains would say, "You can have them both." And sometimes what we do is overlooked, and sometimes we are overlooked. And I would say, particularly in a church, particularly in a family, I don't think we ever mean it. And I've told the story before, and I think I've finally gotten over it today. I've gone through some counseling. My grandmother, I still remember the Christmas event. I came and my grandmother made this huge deal about the size of my cousin's shoes. And I couldn't wait because I knew in my heart of hearts my feet were going to be bigger than his. And so that day came and I went to Christmas. Grandma never said anything else about big feet. Now, I don't think she thought, "Hey, Larry's coming today, and I bet his feet are bigger, and I'm not going to say something just because that's really going to cripple him for the rest of his life." But it just never got mentioned. So sometimes we get overlooked. What we do just gets overlooked. But it's okay because it's never overlooked by the Lord Jesus Christ. And even sometimes when we feel overlooked, I don't know that we are. And so one of the things I would say, even for the church, is don't be afraid to say, "I'll help do that." Even if you don't think you're very good at it. So being overlooked, being overworked. I think sometimes in the church there's a few people that just really, really, really get overworked. And this passage came to my mind as I thought about that. There's a pat on the back if somebody can tell me what story this is from. Prodigal son. Okay, that was Mim. She grew up in the church. Probably got a spanking because she didn't know the Bible very good. But anyways, but this comes from the prodigal son. Prodigal son demands from the father all of his inheritance, gets it, goes to a far-off country, spends it on doing whatever he wants, prostitutes, all kinds of stuff, spends all of the money that he got, realizes, "What in the world am I doing here?" Kind of picks himself up, goes back to the father. The father is just couldn't wait to see his son one more time, hoping and praying he would see his son. The older brother, who never had left, comes in from the field and everybody's all happy. He said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, your brother who we thought was dead is alive and we're having this great party." And it says the older brother became angry and he refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father like this: "Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders." Now, I think unless you've maybe grown up in the church, maybe you don't get this, but I think sometimes we have this sense that we have to be slaves in ministry in the church. We can never say no. We just have to do it if there's a job to be done. Even the song, "I Refuse," you know what I mean? I think we deal with the difficulty of that. And I think for some, it can just be very problematic. And it can take the joy out of going to church. And, I thought there was another slide, but I think I'll get to it later. So anyway, so we talked about being overlooked. We talked about being overworked and then overloaded. You say, "Well, isn't overloaded the same as overworked?" Well, I'm talking about you're so overloaded you cannot do ministry. I'll never forget this. But I don't particularly like to be late. I don't particularly like to be early. I like to get there right on time. And because you got to do too much chit-chatting if you're there early. But anyway, so you get there just right on time. And I remember sitting out in the car when we were in seminary, beeping the horn because we were going to be late. And I'll never forget this. I was like, "Oh, I can't believe it. She comes out the door with two, what are those? Car carrier seat thingies. Two of them. Opening the door, kind of holding it open. And I'm in the car beeping, saying, we are going to be late. And I feel like for so many of us, we're like Carrie. And I think she even come in and said, you know what? Clark puked on himself. We had to change. I had to change his clothes and this and that. And I'm sitting out there like the world, I think, sometimes, and just beeps its horn and says, come on, get on with it. And so I think some of us feel like we are living these overloaded lives, so overloaded that we don't even really have time for ministry. And I was drawn to these words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. And I think you need to spend a minute or two just to hear these words. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I thought about ministry. I thought about going into ministry. I thought about why I went into ministry. And I just remember thinking, I want people to know what I know. God changed my life. He took meaninglessness and gave me meaning. He gave me purpose. He changed my whole outlook. Even though none of my circumstances changed, everything changed. And I just couldn't help but tell people what God had done in my life. And then there's an interesting thing happened, and then I actually went into ministry officially and got a paycheck for being a pastor. And all of a sudden, what used to be wonderful was now very wearisome and burdensome. And I just felt overwhelmed. And I was thinking about this the other day, just about how much time that in ministry that I have felt a sense of rest. And I'm not crying to you or anything else because it's my own fault. Rarely. And it was, and again, it was one of those things where I got to do this or I got to do that or I got to make people think I'm worth this or I got to, and all these things, and I'm just running and running and running and running. And it was interesting because we were, every class I take at the seminary, we go around and tell our names and just different things about us. And I remember saying, you know, my name's Larry Powell. I always tell them, originally from Michigan, go Blue. And then I tell them where I live. And I remember one time said, and I've been in ministry 29 years. I thought, that's something, right? And I thought, 29 years is a long time to feel like you've just got to go, got to go, got to go, got to go, got to go. It's all up to you. It's all up to you. It's all up to you. And again, like I said, it's not right. But so often that's the pressure that I put myself under. And so even for you, I think some of us today, we're running, running, running. I grew up in a house, and I wish I could have a graph of my spankings when I was a child. I'm just very curious. But I think there was a significant uptick on Sundays because Sundays was the Sabbath. The Sabbath, we ate and took a nap. I couldn't do that. I couldn't take a nap, and I also couldn't keep my mouth shut. So eventually, every Sunday, it just seemed like the door came open, and Mom or Dad, one of them had to had enough. And I just remember thinking, I don't like Sabbath. But you know what I think now? I yearn for a time where I just say, I am trusting God for all of it. For what I have and for what I don't have. For what's coming up tomorrow and for what has been. I just am trusting God for it. I'm tired of fretting and thinking it's all up to me. We would be so much better off if we could do what God did to Israel. Gave them this great gift. And even the Bible says, you know, on the seventh day, God rested. And so he gave the Israelites this great gift of rest. And in our culture, we don't even know what that means. People who are constantly busy are praised and held up as the thing. I get it. That's why I ran. But Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. I long for that now in my life. And so I believe one of Jesus' promises to me is, you come to me and I'm going to give you rest. Now you can keep doing it the way you've been, but you're going to keep getting what you've always got. busy, busy, busy. So even for you today, whether it has to do with the church or not the church, just your life in general, I hope you hear the words of Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I mean, that resonates with me. It particularly resonates with me in ministry. So if we're going to be overlooked, if we're going to be overworked, if we're already overloaded, why fiddle with ministry? I love that word, fiddle. I was going to take it out because I thought it's not very dignified, but I like it. Why fiddle with ministry when I'm already overwhelmed and overloaded? Well, I think here's part of an answer. Despite this, it seems like our choices seem to be either guilt when we say no or burden when we say yes, and we just shouldn't. So it seems like we just can't win. And but let me just say this. Ministry is broader than filling a role inside the church. Ministry happens when we love people in Jesus' name, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. We were reading an article this week at the seminary, and I was shocked by these statistics. I don't know if it was 2016 or what the statistic was. It was a relatively new statistic. But in a year, in the United States, 45,000 people approximately take their own life. From 2006 to 2016, and I think I've got those dates right, the percentage of suicides in the age range from 10 to 17 went up by 70%. In 10 years, 70%. I might be talking to somebody who's experienced that. And I'm sorry I bring it up in this sense, but it's a reality. So if you think about 45,000 people choosing, rather than to live their life, they take it. And there's a lot of different reasons, but just think of that, 45,000. And then on top of that, over 60,000 people overdose every year. Overdose! So over 100,000 people either take their life on purpose or take it accidentally. Over 100,000 people. And I think that's what that song is about. I refuse. Because there's people we know. And again, I think we always think, well, he's talking about me doing this, or we start thinking about, well, it means, I'm not saying, I have no idea what it means for you. But I'm just saying, one, ministry is broader than the church itself. And our society as a whole should be concerned that over 100,000 people die that way. So I think we can do ministry even arm in arm with people who don't believe in Christ because it's a worthwhile endeavor. So even for you, as you think about ministry, ministry is broader than the church. Ministry happens when we love people in Jesus' name. Maybe there's somebody who's invisible next to you. Forgive me for talking about seminary, but I was there all week, so that's my experience. But we read this article about people who shoot people, like people who go to the synagogues and shoot 25 people, or people do this, and it says so often behind it all is this, an isolated man. An isolated man. Even Pearl's saying amen. So we need to refuse. So why fiddle? Let's talk about that for a minute. Paul says this, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things He prepared in advance for us to do. And forgive me for misquoting it. I just learned it in a different version. But we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Our lives matter. And then I love this idea. Here's Jesus' words. He's saying, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not the yoke that so many of us carry, even in church ministry. But again, you see this picture here, and you think about a yoke, and so often they would take these yoke and they would have a kind of a mature oxen with a younger oxen, and the mature oxen would bear the majority of the weight, and they would just, but the young would learn with them. And so why fiddle with ministry? Because Jesus is calling us to that. I get that we're overloaded, and some of us, we need to pull back. It seems like the answer is in church, so often we either want to overwork ourselves until we just can't work anymore, or we just say, I just don't have time for that. And so again, not arguing about what is ministry for you, but the fact that Jesus is calling us to take his yoke on us. And so I'm thinking about this in the sense that Jesus is calling me to partner with him doing ministry. Now it says, for my yoke is easy, and that word there can be translated perfect. My yoke for you is perfect. I can't find a pair of pants that fit me. 33 is my length. I don't even think they sell 33. And so you know what I do? I take the 34s and I hike them up. And I take the 32s and I pull them down. Except after a while they slide back up. Jesus is saying to us, my yoke for you is perfect. It takes into account your childhood. It takes into account your gifts. It takes into account everything. And it takes into account his strength for us. And so often we're overloaded, and Jesus is saying, you know what? I've got a way for you to help realize that life is more than just this wheel that you're on. But we say, I just got too much going on. And the truth is, we do. But what we need to give up is not this yoke that Jesus offers to all of us. Because Jesus also says, what good is it if ultimately you gain the whole world? Everything that you've searched for, seeked for, worked for. What if you gain everything and then you end up losing your soul? It's a bad trade. It's a very bad trade. And so even as we think about ministry, even as we think about Jesus saying, you know what? I've got something perfect for you. You say, well, I don't have an outgoing personality. Jesus says, it's perfect for you. What some people hate, other people love. But Jesus has this incredible call to us. He says, listen, even in ministry you can find rest for your souls. That's exciting to me. And I want to kind of finish with this thought. God is the one who calls, equips, and orchestrates. And I want to just focus real quick on equips. I think a big part of equipping is our experiences of our life. I have never lost a child. No idea what that's like. Now, I can be sympathetic towards somebody, but I cannot help them like somebody probably that has actually lost a child. So for all of us, I think, we need to understand that even the difficulties of our life, God can use. Because whatever it is you're going through, you're not the only person that has ever gone through that. And I bet there's a decent chance you know somebody that's going through something similar even right now. And you might be thinking, God, why am I going through this? I've had issues like this where I'm thinking, God, why am I going through this? Next thing I know, I'm meeting somebody with the exact same issue. I say, well, I can't tell you exactly how it's going to work, but I can tell you how God is helping me in the same thing. I'm going through it right now. You're thinking, wow, what a coincidence. And I'm thinking that God of the universe says, you're my masterpiece. And I've got plans for you. And this is one of them. So God calls and equips. So don't look at your shortcomings as if that keeps you from doing what God wants you to do. Maybe because of those God is going to do. I'm getting all excited. I'm running out of time. And then God orchestrates. I've never been in an orchestra, but God's just got a plan. And so often it's not like ours. It's just not like ours. But somehow we've got to have this sense, and this is if we go back to the story of the the prodigal son going back and just trusting the love of his father, and the other guy just being upset and angry. And I'm just thinking, we've got to understand that if we believe in the God of the universe through Jesus Christ, that He does love us. And that He can work in our lives, but He doesn't always work in our lives the way He wants. And I think it would be helpful to us sometimes to know that where it seems so, we just don't get it, that God is still moving, that God can still be trusted even through difficult times. So He certainly calls us and equips us, but He also orchestrates everything. One of the things I think about even in the church is just what happens as you get older. Life changes in the church. And just like so many of these people in this booklet, that for years they haven't even been able to come to the church. Does that mean they're not a part of the church family? It shouldn't mean they're not a part of the church family. I think I got maybe one more slide. Praise team, could you guys come up? So why fiddle with ministry? I want you to hear these last words from the Apostle Paul in Acts. He says this, "I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." So Paul says, listen, I consider my life nothing to me. If only that I could complete what God has given me to do. And the thing is, you're not the Apostle Paul, but if you are in Him, in Christ Jesus, He's got something for you to do. And you know the great news is, some of you are doing it. We're always feeling bad in church. Preachers are always yelling at us like we never do anything. Some of you are doing it. And I say praise the Lord for it. I'm doing it. I don't do it right all the time, and I don't always get it perfect, but I am serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And there are others who are like me. And there are others who are like Paul, that I want my life to count. And Paul is saying, it counts when we do what he would have us to do. Sorry, people, for visiting and having me yell at you. But if you're a believer, man, I hope you're excited about the idea of wearing Jesus' yoke. The perfect yoke for you. That's exciting. All right, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing just this great song of that kind of holds us together, what we believe. Not that we all think the same, vote the same, but for so many of us, what we believe is the same. So why don't you stand and let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the church. I've never been in a perfect church, but I have been in a lot of great churches with great examples, with people who loved you and prayed and helped and did whatever they could. Sometimes they overdid it. Sometimes they moved and worked out of guilt instead of, but they ultimately were doing it for you. And so, Father, I pray in the midst of the messiness of our lives that you would help us to realize that ministry is not a burden, but it's just an incredible benefit of this life we have with you. But we pray for wisdom and discernment because some of us are being overworked. And, Father, some of us here are being overlooked. And every now and then, there's just something that creeps up in our life and tries to steal our joy. When the devil says, you don't matter, they don't care about you. Father, for those people, I pray that they would know today that you care, that nothing they do for you goes unnoticed. And when it counts, they will be recognized. And Father, thank you for the people in this room are just, they're doing it. They're doing it. They love you. They don't do every job in the church because they're not supposed to. But they love people in your name. Father, thank you for this awesome opportunity. And even as we sing this new song, this next song, I pray that you'd help us to recognize that it's what we believe that draws us together. And Father, I pray that we would have a heart, the same heart that's in you, that we would love like you love. You actually call us to love that way. Father, we praise you, and we do especially thank you for all of those who have served so faithfully who are now gone, resting in your arms. Father, we do stand on their shoulders, absolutely. Father, help us all to serve you with all of our heart, to love you with all we have, and our neighbor as ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.